Hello, I'm Heather Klutz-Young, Senior Editor of SDM Magazine. Today, I'm here with Scott Barrett, President and Founder of Commercial Wireless Systems International, also known as CWSI. We're here discussing wireless addressable fire technology advancements. Scott, thanks for taking the time to be with us today. Could you just start off with some background on the development of the technology or maybe anything people may not know regarding its history?
Sure, Heather, I appreciate the opportunity this morning to address you and both the SDM subscribers. Wireless was initially founded back in the early 1980s, and its first footprints, if you were in the fire alarm industry, was in the mid-80s when NFPA had adopted wireless into the standards. From that point on, your various code listing authorities and other testing laboratories such as Factory Mutual, ETL, California State Fire Marshal, and New York Fire Department now all have approvals and listings for wireless. So that's kind of the progression from the beginning to where we're at today. We've had various technologies that have been introduced over the years. Manufacturers choose their technologies based on the type of product that they have, the size of the product, and so forth. So that will vary amongst manufacturers. But again, as we sit here today, it began in the 80s and has advanced to where we are today.
Okay, thanks for the background. Moving on, it does go without saying that meeting industry listings and billings is paramount, especially in an industry as critical as fire. So with that in mind, could you just take a moment and describe maybe how and why addressable wireless technology meets the listings and billings for our listeners?
Sure. Well, first of all, the National Fire Protection Association, NFPA, sets the standards and compliances for all related fire alarm technology, whether it's wireless or conventional. Listed wireless systems must comply with all provisions that NFPA sets forth for all fire alarm systems, in addition to what they refer to as specific performance requirements of wireless manufacturers. In the National Fire Alarm Code, NFPA 72, this is referred to as special requirements for low-power radio systems. So underwriters, laboratories, Factory Mutual, and ETL will test to a specific manufacturer's products to the performance requirements in NFPA and list the products accordingly. And California State Fire Marshal and New York Fire Department have also adopted and have listings for commercial wireless systems. So commercial wireless systems, the industry as a whole, has the identical listings and acceptance of the hardwired industry.
Okay, that's great. Also then moving on to the technology itself, are there any newer developments in the technology or strong features that people may not know about?
Well, the technologies certainly have improved, as is with all manufacturers, since the first wireless systems were introduced back in the mid-1980s, and I think the same can be said for our conventional counterparts. Wireless now has the ability to meet, if you will, looking at some of the performance enhancements and features, the same supervisory cooling requirements as conventional systems. Wireless systems are able to initiate and activate control functions via wireless means, such as elevator recall, HVAC control, door closures, pump controllers, etc. Wireless manufacturers can now provide the total gamut of detection and protection required in our industry, including control panels that have the capabilities of upwards of 1,024 devices, repeaters, remote enunciators, wireless remote relay controls, smoke detectors, CO detectors, heat detectors, and monitoring modules. One manufacturer has also introduced the first commercially listed interconnected smoke detectors that can provide tandem operation in apartments, condominiums, dormitories, hotels, and etc. So with the limited product base that wireless had back in the 80s and 90s, if you will, as the technology has progressed, now wireless offers the same identical components and performance features as the addressable systems.
Very nice. Moving on to the next question, I do think that it seems like the perception does exist that the technology isn't reliable. But can you discuss any facts or features that you see prove that it is reliable or that would change that perception?
Well, I've only known one-way wireless, and I've been involved with it now for 31 years. So I've seen the technology advance and have been involved in several various installations and installed in most every conceivable environment you can imagine, inclusive of industrial plants, airports, aluminum manufacturing facilities, steel plants, private sectors, and even the Statue of Liberty. These are all very environments which, beyond the surface, be perceived as not conducive to a wireless product. However, the sophisticated technologies and protocols available to wireless manufacturers today, there is, in my opinion, no environment that a wireless system will not be suitable for.
Well said. Jumping to what is definitely an important question in today's economy, are there any cost savings that people wouldn't know or necessarily understand right off the bat that you can explain a little deeper?
Well, the initial perception is wireless devices were more costly than a conventional device. And as a rule of thumb from a per-piece standpoint, i.e. a smoke detector, we are more expensive since we're dealing with the same smoke detector head as an addressable system would be. But the wireless manufacturers, now we install an RF transmitter and a battery or batteries depending on the manufacturer. What happens, and if you will, the tipping of the scales results from the label and material savings. A typical wireless device labor factor is 1/2 hour to install compared to 2 hours as a rule for the installation of a conventional device. Add another $30 to $35 in materials cost to the conventional device for junction boxes, wirings, and other miscellaneous materials, as opposed to no material cost theoretically for a wireless device, since the only materials there are typically two screws and two mollies to install it, thus the cost savings. So typically, on average, a wireless system that consists of, let's say, 100 devices or more will afford a cost savings generally in the area of 30 to 50%, and sometimes more depending on the application. The larger the wireless system, typically the more cost savings to the client.
Yeah, those are some good numbers to consider. Wrapping up then, you know, the technology isn't new. It continues to advance. As you even mentioned, you've been doing this and seeing it work for 31 years. So with that experience in mind and your knowledge of the technology, could you share maybe how actual installations have fared over the years, or wrap up with results that people may not know that would deepen their awareness and opinion of the technology?
Well, as I mentioned just previously here, being in the industry over 30 years, and we as a manufacturer, we're still supporting systems that we have installed back in the late 80s. The component structure of a wireless device and the testing of a wireless device is no different than a conventional device. So really, in our industry, the lifespan of any fire alarm product, wireless or otherwise, is dependent on obsolescence of components that support the various products. And as such, the ability to supply spare parts once become obsolete no longer exists. So that's going to affect any type of technology, even in the security industry, no different. So a technology that worked 30 years ago today, in my opinion, in an environment will still work today, as we have proven and still servicing systems, as I said, that are installed in the late 80s. New technologies which are currently being introduced in all sectors of our industry allow us to grow and achieve new goals throughout the fire alarm community.
Okay, thank you very much. That actually wraps up the questions that I had for you today. I just want to take a moment. Thank you for your time. Thank you for sharing your insight and being with us today.
Okay, Heather, I'd like to thank you and again the SDM subscribers for allowing this opportunity.
You're welcome. For our listeners, you can also read Scott's insight on growth in addressable wireless fire technology in SDM's May feature story, the 2013 State of the Market Fire, which you can find on sdmmag.com. You can also get more general information on sdmmag.com, or you can go to www.wirelessfirealarm.com as well. Thanks for listening.